Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Tara Peterson, and you are the development officer for Kudavana Partnership.
Hi there, I'm Tara Peterson. I'm the director of development for the Kudavana Partnership. We operate a children's home in Zimbabwe, Africa.
Yes, and I love the people of Zimbabwe. I've had many students when I taught in Baltimore, and they're just lovely. Set the stage for us as to how you came to this point in your life.
Absolutely. It's quite a journey. I actually have a background in education and English, and I was one of those kids that really was never shown a variety of careers and different paths that you can take in my life. And when I graduated, I actually went to Southern Adventist University in Collegedale, Tennessee. I kind of freaked out and moved overseas and ended up in New Zealand. And I was got a position working for ADRA New Zealand. And they sort of put me in a bit of a development role. They said, look, you love people. You love to help. You're a good communicator. And why don't you try working with us? So I worked with ADRA New Zealand for a year and then with World Vision also in resource development, really helping to help other people who are looking to make an impact realize those goals. And that's the wonderful thing about working in resource development is that you can act as a bridge between people that have resources and want to make an impact, a positive impact in their world, and connect them with things that they're very passionate about and they know will achieve that impact. So my journey really began in New Zealand, and then I've been doing resource development work for about the past decade. And for the last 8 years, I've actually been working for an organization called Junior Achievement, where I helped really realize resources to help kids gain self-sufficiency. But through my church, Life Source Adventist Fellowship in Denver, Colorado, I came to know about the Kudavana Partnership because several members of our church are very passionate about their work. And I really felt that God was calling me to get more involved. And I was studying the prayer of Jabez and really trying to expand my notion of what my career was preparing me to do. And about 6 months ago, that sort of came to fruition. And I actually just traveled to Zimbabwe a few weeks ago to visit the children's home and was very impressed that this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I am their first paid stateside resource development person to try to really help us really ensure that these children have the best possible start in life, even if they came from difficult circumstances and are prepared to become self-sufficient adults. And most importantly, that they know they are children of Christ and they are valuable.
That is such an honorable thing to do. And I know I'll have listeners that go, that is what I want to do when I grow up. You know, that's the career path I want to take. So there's two things I'd like to find out. First, I want to find out more about Kudavana. And our listeners can go to the website, kudavana.org. It's spelled KUDAVANA.org. You'll learn more there. Not every orphanage or children's home has a development officer that's dedicated solely to them. So I'm going to be very interested in how that works out. So as a development officer, what resources do you explore?
That's a great question. So currently, our supporter base has primarily been the Seventh-day Adventist community, people from Denver, Colorado, where I'm based and where our managing trustees and most of our board are based, but also people in California, Florida, and across the world. So really, we have a very strong individual supporter base. Some of the things that I'll be focusing on is really to better get to know the people that support us and why, and also to really reach out to the business community. That's really where my history in my career lies, is corporate fundraising. So to help them better understand how can they leverage their philanthropic dollars to make an impact across the world.
Now, are you involved with any of the bolts and nuts of how to get funding approved that's coming from the states to be used overseas?
Yeah, you know, most of our funding currently does come from the United States. Zimbabwe is actually a quite a difficult country to operate in when it comes to NGOs. ADRA is actually also very active there, to my understanding. We really do, and I'll just be honest, it sort of operates as a cash-based system right now where we have to bring cash in to pay our staff. We only employ local Zimbabweans to be mothers to our children, to be teachers to our children, and administrate the organization. And Zimbabwe, if you don't know, has gone through a tremendous upheaval in the past 3 decades since independence, where they've had complete economic collapse. The Zimbabwean dollar inflated dramatically, and you know, people's money basically became worthless. And so now they're on the American dollar, but there's a huge cash shortage. So when you go to that country now, you'll see lines of people waiting for hours to get a maximum of $25 a day out of an ATM machine. And really, Zimbabwe isn't, I would say, an inexpensive country to live in. Prices can actually be quite comparable to living in North America. So imagine you spend 4 to 5 hours of your day trying to access a little bit of cash. Employment rates are almost 95-98% at the moment. So you couple that with trying to do good work in that community, and it's very difficult. So when we go over, we actually end up bringing a lot of cash to pay our employees so that they don't have to suffer through that, and they have an ability to feed and care for their own families as well. So what we're really trying to do is work in partnership with leaders and organizations to provide whole person care for the children that we work with. And that's very important to us. That's why it's called the Kudavana Partnership, because yes, we truly do work together with our community, with donors and supporters and volunteers in the United States to help realize this and make Zimbabwe a better place for its children as they grow.
Yes, and maybe describe for us exactly what the Kudavana, or what it does for the young people and the children. That how do you get the children, what kind of environment they're in once you have them in Kudavana?
Absolutely. So the Kudavana Partnership, and as they mentioned, Kudavana means loving children in the native language of Shona. And that's really what makes us an atypical orphanage. You think of a lot of orphanages, you think of an institution, right, with a lot of rows of bunk beds and you know, maybe not a very warm or inviting place. And Kudavana is special. We actually have 50 children, infant all the way through 18, that live in group homes. So each home is comprised of 10 children, a family unit with a mama and an auntie that cares for them as they would their own children. So they're growing up in family units and learning what it's like to be part of a family. Responsibilities, chores, love, all of that, nutrition is given to these kids. And so we partner with social services to help them as they have children come in. Zimbabwe does have one of the highest orphan and abandonment rates in the world. They have a huge HIV issue there. Couple that with the economic crisis, and a lot of families simply can't care for their children. So most of the children we do get do not have parents. Many of them may have parents, but they've come from unsafe situations or their families simply can't care for them. So we will take those children in. While I was there a few weeks ago, we actually had 2 new children brought to us. We had an infant who was just a couple of months old, who had been given up because he was in an unsafe situation. His mother was mentally unstable and he was in danger. We also had a younger child who was about 1.5 years, who was simply found wandering in a village somewhere. No one knew who he belonged to. He was malnourished and filthy. And a day after being brought to us and being put in our nursery with our mamas, they were both very happy and doing well. And I would say in sum, what Kudavana does is whole person care. Mm-hmm. We are looking at not just giving these children security and nutrition, but most importantly, love, spiritual support, and an education. We are working very hard to give these kids the best possible education they can have so that as they grow, they can be self-sufficient and help not only themselves, but their communities.
Do you have a plan for the future when they start getting into higher ed and career, that kind of development?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I'm so glad you asked that question, Rose, because one of the huge goals that we have, and I think God is really leading us, is to build a school. So right now, all of our students that are secondary, so high school, we actually send to local Seventh Avenue boarding schools where they can get a great education. But our younger kids, really, we're struggling. The public school system there is pretty subpar. in many ways, and also is not free. It's not inexpensive. And our children, because of their special needs and their history, were really not doing well. And so we actually are paying teachers to homeschool them right now while we have plans to build a school. So we will be building an Adventist school just up the road from the children's home. We have land already dedicated to that and are looking for people to partner with us to help us do that. So the vision is to have a K through 12 school eventually that not only serves the children in our home, but also the surrounding areas. So we will have an excellent school that will provide kids in our community with a wonderful Christian education and also serve as a revenue source for the children's home itself.
So you would invite other children to come?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, I love the openness because children need to associate with other children that aren't necessarily, you know, that are out there in the mainstream of society. So it's a way of mainstreaming society and helping them to see how mm-hmm. other children may be functioning and what they need to do. Now, let's go back to these aunties and mamas. Do they have any male influence in their lives? Or
that's a great question. Yeah. So we have two administrators on campus that are strong father figures to these children. They both have, I believe, families of their own and really make those connections, especially, yeah, with the boys and just being that father figure. Colleen Ortelheide and John Ortelheide, who are also our managing trustees, are there about 50% of the time, and John Ortelheide is also an incredible father figure to all of those children. He knows every single one of them personally, and really they invest their whole person in these children.
Well, we're going to take a break right here, but I have so many more questions. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
Imagine you're a 14-year-old girl. You're not concerned about boys or homework or school. You're concerned about providing for your four siblings. In fact, you've dropped out of school because they need you. Last month, you watched your father beat your mother to death in your own home. And you're doing your very best to make sure you can keep your family together. Hi there, I'm Tara Peterson, Development Director for the Kudavana Partnership, operating a children's home in Zimbabwe, Africa. This is why the Kudavana Partnership exists in Zimbabwe, Africa. Kudavana means loving children in the local language of Shona. We operate a Seventh-day Adventist children's home, providing love and whole person care to the most vulnerable children of Zimbabwe. We took this young girl and her four siblings in and gave them a home together with a mother figure who can teach them the power of love and the power of Jesus Christ in their lives. She and her four siblings are receiving the best possible education, nutrition and health, and learning about how to become self-sufficient so they can provide for themselves in the future. If you'd like to learn more, please visit kudavana.org. That's spelled kudavana.org. kudavana.org.
Coffee, when are we gonna get through this jungle?
I don't know.
Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, let me see.
This cap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at
mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm here with Tara Peterson, and we're talking about Kudavana, the orphanage or children's home in Zimbabwe. And you were just going into a little bit of a description of what the children, how it worked with their individual homes and learning about family life and not just institutionalized. And I really appreciate that approach. I think children too often are in an institutionalized situation because there's so many of them with all of the crisis with civil war and HIV and all of those. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, let's say, someone is looking to become a development officer. How do you keep from not just staying there? You know, when you go there, I'm sure there must be some emotional attachment.
Yeah, I would really say these children capture your heart. And their influence is what drives me, though. When you're working for something that matters as much as this, it's not work. It's your life. And so I think for anyone out there who is interested in working in resource development or nonprofit work, you know, you may never become a real rich person, but you're rich in other ways and your work matters. And my work is a wonderful opportunity to connect people with things that they care about. Not everyone, you know, not everyone thinks that supporting 50 children in Zimbabwe is for them. It might be something in their backyard or something around the corner, but everyone can do something to make an impact in their life. And so when you work in a career like mine, it's just wonderful to meet those people and help connect them to causes they can relate to.
So do you have a figure of how much it costs to support one child through the year?
That's a great question, yeah. And so to frame that out for you a little bit, Rose, we not only provide, you know, housing, nutrition, schooling, and all of that for our kids, but also clothing, medical fees, holistic care. Mm-hmm. So when you think about that, think about everything that you spend in a year on your family, because these kids are truly our family. So it provides, if you wanted to sponsor one child for a year, that would include all of those things. It's just $5,000 a year for one child. Or if you wanted to sponsor, say, a child's food or lodging for a month, it's $100 a month.
So they can go to your website and they can do a subscription type of donation, or they can do a one-time donation. Mm-hmm. That's at kudavana.org.
That's right. We're also looking for partners who are interested in our school project, because we are, as I mentioned, developing a school that will serve the children at the Kudavana Children's Home, but also the surrounding community. So if anyone's listening out there who is really passionate about education and its ability to transform lives, specifically Christian education, we would love to talk to you about how you can get involved. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we do so much more than our children's home. We also actually operate a feeding program for families who are experiencing nutritional and food insecurity. So one of our goals is to help keep more children with their families. Mm-hmm. So by providing two meals a day for about, I think it's about 40 to 50 children and their families, we are actually helping keep those children at home with their families. So food security is a big issue in Zimbabwe, and it's something that we're also trying to address the front end, right, of children not being with their families. We are in the development phases of really trying to work on fostering and adopting our children out to home. So we have a partnership and a wonderful relationship with the local Seventh-day Adventist Church in Mutare, Zimbabwe, which is about 30 minutes from our children's home. And they are wonderful. They have hosted our kids over school holidays. Several of them have been interested in fostering or adopting our children. So we really are trying to not just, you know, have children primarily grow up at Kudavana, although if they do, they have a forever family. We actually have students that are now in college that we're supporting as they go on to university, because we really are their family.
Yeah. So how did your family accept this rather dark, bleak change of career directions from you?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a bleak thing. I would say, you know, I went from an organization that was very stable and very well known and branded and well supported to one that is on the ground doing the work. And for me, being so connected to our mission is invaluable. And so for my husband and my 3-year-old daughter, who is going to grow up with these children as her family, it was an easy decision. I really do feel like I have 51 children, the 50 kids at Kudavana Children's Partnership and my own daughter. And I will tell you, you know, the stories of the kids are what also really are what matter. I mean, to give you an example, if any of you listening are parents, you imagine, you know, you have a beautiful little 1-month-old baby that has a medical problem of some kind, and you're most likely going to do everything in your power to address that problem. In Zimbabwe, that isn't always an option. So several months ago, we had a little girl who was dropped off somewhere. She was abandoned. She was about 1 month old, and she was doing very poorly. She had a terrible heart condition and needed surgery, but it was something that could be fixed. Obviously, her parents couldn't or wouldn't do that. And we were able to bring her in. We talked about the issue with some of our donors, and you know, within a week or two after receiving that contribution, she had her surgery, and I just got to hold her and visit her a few weeks ago. And this little girl is going to grow up to be a healthy young woman who knows she is loved and cared for and knows who her savior is. And that's what it's all about. And also, because of the model we have of group homes, we are able to keep families together. So many times, and this happens in the United States as well, siblings will get split up, especially large families, correct? Because one place may not be able to take them all. We had a family of 5 children, ages, I think about 2 years old was the youngest, to the oldest, she was 14. They witnessed their father murder their mother in front of them just a few months ago. And the older girl had dropped out of school and was doing her best to care for her siblings until someone finally figured out what was happening. And social services brought them to us. And so we've actually been able to keep all 5 siblings in one home with one mama. And they are doing so well. They're doing excellent in school. They're really recovering from the trauma they've experienced and doing quite well. And so I think anyone who's looking to invest in family, in the power of family and the love of Christ, the Kudavana Partnership is something for you.
Yes. Well, as we conclude the show, what do you foresee in the future? Are they going to build more homes? Because it sounds like just in, you know, 5 kids, all of a sudden, you need another home.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Right now, our capacity is 50 children. We're about there. And I think before we do anything else, we want to build the school so that we can truly have the proper holistic care for the children in our care. Once that happens, though, I think God only knows what his plans are, and he's taken us to where we are, and I know he will continue to take us in the future where we're supposed to go.
Yes, yes. Well, to conclude the show, would you tell us, like, your favorite verse or something that you hang on to, knowing that it's God's message and mantra for your life?
I have had a piece of paper taped on my computer for the past decade, every job I've ever had in development. And it says, I can do all things through Christ, Philippians 4:16. And that is definitely my motto as I go to help grow the Kudavana Partnership and its support and the wonderful partners we already have and hopefully the new partners that are to come.
That's a great promise. That is a great promise. Well, with that, I will say God bless.
Thank you so much, Rose, for having us.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.